Many of us use far too much effort and energy when trying to project our voice and sound louder that it can actually cause physical and emotional fatigue. If speaking up and speaking out feels like an uphill struggle, then it's likely that you're just doing it wrong, and that can lose you opportunities, respect, and even cause damage down the line. In this video, I'll provide a 10-step system that you can use to speak with more volume, less effort, and protect your number one asset, your voice. Number one, understand it. Volume and projection aren't necessarily the same thing. Volume, you could see, is the metric, the countable measurement of sound. And projection is more the effort that goes into creating sound, because you can project your voice, yet it might not be as loud as using your voice another way. And whilst a voice that is free, relaxed, limber, and ready can project more volume, it's not necessarily the healthiest way to learn how to create volume in the first place, and a lot of that's down to resonance. Considering that air powers our voice and it's essentially being squeezed out of us when we're trying to project, we pull in our abdominal muscles and we try to force some pressure through. If there's restrictions in some of the channels that the air passes through on its way out into the world, then what you're doing is essentially squeezing the same amount of air through a tinier tube. That creates pressure and can cause damage. So if you're someone who's restricted, held, tense, and trying to project, the volume is not going to necessarily come. In fact, it's going to be battling to get out of your body. And to start with, before you even learn to project, you need to safely understand how to allow the voice to flow. So when I talk about the voice, I always speak about tension being bad, but not all tension is bad, because if it was bad, we'd fall over, right? So we need tension in order to hold us up. But what happens is, due to the fact that many of us have a sedentary lifestyle in our workplaces these days, the voice begins to adapt as the body adapts to its environment. So we're closing off the front of our bodies, and we're losing musculature in our backs. And what happens is our posture changes, and that changes how the voice works. So the support that would be more natural for us in speaking feels like more of an effort, because our bodies just simply aren't aligned and working as at their optimal. You can have good posture and still have a bad voice, but what I'm trying to suggest is that there are restrictions. There are tiny, like, tensions that are correlated to how well we can stand in good alignment and posture that also connect to the voice. And if our alignment and our posture isn't kind of as it should be, that's going to have subtle effects on our voice. And we start to hold and try to control and try to move the voice by lifting certain muscles and contracting others and releasing ones that shouldn't be. So the system's essentially not regulating as it should. Therefore, our voice doesn't come out as freely as it could. I've talked about this before, that if you've someone who's got a resonant voice, it doesn't necessarily mean you've got a loud voice, but it ties to depth and the quality of sound. So let's just say that you're passing a certain amount of air through a tube that's that small. It comes out quite high-pitched and thin, right? But if you pass the same amount of air through a hole that's that full, right? More air goes through quicker, and it's a deeper sound because it's filling the whole resonating chamber. And that's essentially what's going on when you're, you know, pushing air out of your body through your mouth. If there's tensions and tightness and restrictedness, then it's going to be a thinner sound. And whilst you can project that, you're projecting less resonance through a smaller chamber. But if you open it up, there's more space for vibrations to bounce and become broader sounding, right? Bigger sounding. And so a voice can travel because it's released. If it's restricted, it's not really leaving your body as effectively as it could do. And this is obviously where damage comes through. But all those restrictions, you holding back, a lot of tightness, right? And you're putting tightness in, you're using effort, and you're pushing, you're working against yourself. So you need to learn how to free the voice. And a lot of that comes from diaphragmic breathing. Now, I made an 8-week course, which is designed to set up your body with the right alignment, the right relaxation, the right lengthening and space and articulation, so you can vocalize freely and get out of your own way. So when you speak, your voice works. I did that. It took me 2 years to create that course. I still sell it. It's my flagship course on my website. I've left a link below so you can find it for yourself. A lot of people start the first week and think, this is yoga, but it's not. It's very different. The work that's in there, there's like 65 really poignant exercises for voice specifically on improving this instrument so it can speak more expressively and freely. And I think there's about 3 yoga positions in the entire course, so there's a lot more going on in there. But despite my 8-week course, which is designed for this, you can study other people. Number 2, study examples. Some people can just fill a room without raising their voice. It might seem like they just have a loud voice or they just have a big voice. Not shouting, not being cocky, not being confident. They just fill space. Maybe when you were younger, you had a teacher or a parent or knew a priest or someone who just was able to command the room. Now, this is a phrase everyone wants to get. Everyone wants to command the room, but it's not about being commanding. It's about just being comfortable in your own skin. That means there's a certain amount of relaxation to that. And it's not just the physical relaxation, it's the psychological. They don't really care what others think of them. They're not restricting themselves. They're not blocking themselves emotionally or physically. And so the voice just travels. It just moves out of them. And this will happen no matter what your body is like, because babies can fill the room. They can fill the house with sound, and they're tiny. You've learned to restrict yourself, which is why you probably are watching this and feel that you can't create much sound, but you can. You can. If a baby can fill up such space with its tiny little vocal folds and lungs, you are able to. You just have to get out of your way. And that's what we're going to try and learn how to do. And part of that is by watching other people. Who is it that has a voice? Watch them. What do they do? How do they stand? How are they breathing? Do yourself a favor. Go and see a good theatre show. Maybe an outdoor Shakespeare production. You don't have to understand Shakespeare. Nobody bloody does. But you can see how the actors use their voice. Well, maybe if it's badly done, they'll be shouting at each other. But really, the voice, when trained, and acting training is a really good example of how you can release a voice and open up a voice to be fully resonant and powerful without that extra effort, which can cause strain down the line. But also opera houses, go and see an opera. Just watch how they just open the mouth and sound bellows out. They fill these giant auditoriums just with voice. And it's fantastic to see. I was working at the Royal Opera House just as an actor, not as a singer. And I had to stand in front of this tenor who was belting out. And I had to sort of be kneeling down in front of him. And the sound was really hard to be in front of because it was so loud. But being in such close proximity, you notice how efficient people are with their movement, how efficient they are with their themselves. They don't move much. They're trying to eliminate all extra extraneous tensions so they can just use their instrument. It's quite a thing to see. So go and see some opera, go and see some good theatre, and get to understand how people are using their bodies, because sometimes we can learn from watching and seeing others. Number 3, feel it in your body. Now, I'd love you to be able to connect with your diaphragm, and so I'm going to offer a little clip now from a video that I made for a private client on connecting with the diaphragm. And I think I've shared it with a few people now, so I think it's quite useful. And check this out. I'm going to show you this exercise, and this is essentially how I learned to connect with my breath. I was 14 years old and I was taking singing lessons from a guy who was previously an opera singer, and he turned to become a rock singer and a coach. And his claim was that he had such a big voice that he was singing at a rock concert and the electricity had gone out, yet he could still be heard from the back. So this was my introduction to vocalizing. And despite the fact that I had many issues with my speaking later on, which I worked on since, I was able to produce a loud sound when I was a teenager, and I was able to scream, which is one of the first lessons he taught me, because at the time I was into rock music and I wanted to sound like Phil Anselmo from the band Pantera. Of course, as a 14-year-old, I sounded still like a little girl. So his first lesson was to teach me how to connect with my breath. Now, the style in which he taught me was quite aggressive, and it's no longer necessarily considered
a good method, but I want you to learn to understand the same thing without the aggression. So what I'm going to do, perhaps you have one of these, or perhaps you can get one of these. If not, we can do it another way. The way I learned was on one of these, like a little footrest. But I'm going to show you how we did this without the screaming. So what it is, if you get a ball, or actually I'm not sure if you have a piano in your house, you could even use like a stool like this, but you need to be able to lay over it so your belly below your ribs is in the middle there. You have to be fairly comfortable. I think this is the best option, this ball, because it will push into your belly like that, and it's softer. So by laying on there, I want you to experience what it's like to breathe in and let go. And I want you to notice how much your body moves. I want you to aim to get your body to move. Of course, the ball will move in, and you might get lightheaded because you're using a lot of effort and probably drawing in more air than you would. So it is a little tricky, but you're going to breathe in and just allow the air to go. Allow the pressure of the ball to push the air out again. Like we were doing yesterday when I was asking you to. But we're going to do it in one long, quick, no, not long, but quick sigh like this. So the idea is that the air comes out very quickly and it's all escaped. And you breathe in again and let it escape. I'm making sound so you can hear it, but if you could do this quietly as possible, then you've opened up the channel and you know that you're not getting in the way of that air. Of course, it's going to make sound because it's rushing out very quickly. So after doing this a few times, I want you to then add sound to it. Now, nothing should be happening from here. This should be completely relaxed. No effort, no energy going into your neck, your throat at all. Essentially, this is doing the work of your abdominal muscles, which are usually contracting to help pull your diaphragm, to pull your vital organs back into place, which helps move your diaphragm up. But the idea is that I want you to find a way, by using this, of experiencing air moving through your whole channel without you controlling it. I want it to just happen.
Okay, so the idea is that you're getting out of the way, just opening the channel and allowing air just come through, and then you can start bringing the vocal folds together for sound. It's like what happens when we laugh. When's the last time you laughed? I mean, like really laughed, belly laughed. When you're not trying to laugh, you're not trying to control it. When you can let go, sound will just flow. With much more resonance, much more volume, and then this diaphragm, you can start to project that. Number four, explore placement. We all have a different way of experiencing our voice and the sounds we create in ourselves. Some people feel it quite a lot, and some people don't hear themselves at all until they have a recording back and go, "Is that what I sound like?" But for creating sound that travels better, it's a really good idea to think of placing your voice as opposed to just trying to add effort or trying to be louder. If you think about someone being at a further distance from you, and you're just trying to reach them. Because we all have different air placements when we speak. It's part of our accents, a part of our language. Some people are kind of stuck back here in the throat. Some people are quite nasally. A lot of air comes through the nose, like the Australians. That's probably a terrible Australian accent, by the way. I'm really sorry. My accent itself bounces off the hard palate and out. But some people like RP, like Tom Hiddleston, for example, they have a placement which is towards the gum ridge, which is towards just behind the top front teeth. That's part of the RP accent. But now, if you were to think about placing your voice outside of your mouth already, hey, just further forward like that. And like imagine air just traveling through and hitting something in front of you. That's really when you're sharing yourself. If you're calling someone, hey, just imagine that the person you're speaking to is further away and place your voice over there. Place your voice. And part of that is really connecting with who you're speaking to, not saying I'm trying to be louder, but focus on the person. Focus outwards. Focus outwards. You'll sidestep you trying to control how you sound and you'll actually just reach more people. And you reach further, your voice will become better projected or more louder just by not thinking about it. So having a warm, limber, relaxed body system, which you should be doing every day anyway, and then consider if your voice isn't traveling to someone at the other side of the table, just pretend that they're a bit further away. If you're saying, oh yeah, it's not nice to meet you today, it's really, I'd like to be in this meeting and it's great to be in this job interview, thank you for having me here today. And they're like, sorry, can you speak up? Just imagine that they're two tables away. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here today for this job interview, and just place them further away rather than thinking of using more effort, and then your body will use the effort for you. So it's kind of misdirecting yourself. Number five, play with dynamics. So you know that by using the abdominals, you can create more pressure, which could add more volume, as long as you're safely getting out of your own way. But your articulators also get in the way. If your jaw is tight, that's the end of this channel. This channel starts in the lungs, it comes up through our larynx and our vocal folds, and it goes up into our nose and out for our mouth. And if you're kind of restricting this too, there's less sound that can come out if your jaw is tight. So you've got to learn to open your mouth when you speak. And also you can use your lips to kind of place the voice more forward. So if you think of a trumpet, and maybe even a bit of a smile, lifting the cheeks up, zygote muscles. Yeah. So think of smiling and a trumpet and then open your jaw a bit more as you speak. Hey! Hey, yeah, yeah. Just opening the mouth makes it louder. Right? Vowel sounds should be free and open. The consonants are what stops a cut off. They're the kind of the breaking points of the vowel. So consonants break up the vowel. So you go, yeah, yeah. Tick, 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 tock, 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 tock. Think of your jaw, open it more. Think of your lips helping to send that sound out. And think of a smile that's going to lift your voice a little. And actually these smiling muscles do alter the position of the larynx somewhat and help it open up a little bit more for your speaking. Number six, use imagery or colour. I remember when I was first introduced to this idea of using colour, I already thought I knew what I was doing. And this particular voice coach, I felt really embarrassed by the work. We were running around the room and being colour and sharing colour, and I was really surprised when I let go and had just tried it out how effective it actually was, because I stepped aside my judgment, my prejudgment of what I was doing, and I was able to just go with it. And if you can do that, if you can just do this on your own when no one's looking and be a bit of a Wally, you might actually just get better results. So using colour or imagery, colour's a good one. You can think of your voice as colour. Now, I've done this in most of these videos in this series. What if thinking, don't think of projection, don't think of volume, but how does a different colour affect your voice? If your voice were a different colour, would one be more open than the other? For example, blue, blue, blue. I'm saying blue, but I'm using the oo of the blue because it's oo vowel sound. Blue. Blue. This is blue for me. Okay, this is not necessarily a volume exercise, but if I were to go red, 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 somehow I've gone a bit louder and gruffier, but that's just my red, red, talking like that all the time. Yellow. Yellow, oh, that's quieter, right? It seems to be very breathy, yellow. Blue, red, yellow. I've got different tonalities and different volumes as well, just from thinking of my voice as a colour, playing with it. Next time you're in the shower and no one can hear you, just go and play around. Imagine your voice's colour. What changes? Does anything open up? Does anything drop? Does anything relax? This is good. This is what you want. Of course, none of it is going to beat my 8-week course, because that is designed to do this. Gives you daily practice for 8 weeks. That's 2 months. And that's just enough time for your body to start automating the work that's in there. Okay? Check it out. 7, apply intention. Now, what we did with colour is apply intention. Sort of like what we did with the placement as well. We have an intention to reach someone. But rather than thinking again about ourselves, and there's a common theme here, when you're considerate and self-conscious, you're often trying to control and hold on. That's why the voice is finding it hard to free itself. So if you consider intention, who you're speaking to and what you're trying to give them or get from them, you again misdirect your mind from trying to control this, and it will happen naturally because you are a human being, and as long as you want or need something, which you will because you're a human being, then you can use your voice to get that thing. And it's not about being angry or being sad or showing something. It's about connecting with the person you're speaking to. The more you can connect with your audience, the freer you are to express yourself to them. Go in with an intention. The intention to educate, or to befriend, or to mystify, or to glorify, to berate, to mock, to tell off. Whatever it is, make it very clear and use it to send your messages to your audience, as opposed to thinking about being clearer or louder or projecting. You'll find if you're connecting well and your body is limber, warm and ready, because you've been doing the stuff on my 8-week course, that it will just happen. So you can place people further away than they really are, and then you can hit them with the intention behind the meaning of your words. Now, I know this is a little bit difficult at first, and we call this actioning in the acting world, but it is literally what you're trying to give the person you're speaking to. What do you want them to feel? And you use that delivery mechanism to send your words on. I love you. Sounds much more believable when you use the I, R, U, vowel sounds. Sound travels on the vowel. Oh, don't say that. I love you. But if you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. If you keep it to yourself or consider it too much, I love you, I love you, or don't open your mouth, it doesn't travel. I love you. I love you. It just comes out. It just comes out. Change your intention. Who's it for? What do you want to give? What do you want to give them? What do you want to gift them? It's your present, right? You're presenting yourself. That's why it's gifting. It's not about you, remember. It's about them. 8, remove tension. Now, I think I've said this in every single section. There's good tension and bad tensions, but you want to get rid of all the micro tensions that your body doesn't want. And you know what? Rather than keep trying to sell you my 8-week course, I want you to go and check out this video here. It's 40 minutes of your life. And I want you to just go through it, experience the work, and then go and speak and see what happens. See what changes. If you're able to do this in the evening, you will sleep better. Well, if you did it in the morning, you'd probably sleep better as well. But if you did it in the morning, before you went off to work or off to school or wherever you're going to speak, you'll find that your voice is more relaxed, more resonant, and already louder. If you do it in the evening, you'll sleep better. If you did it every day, twice a day, I'm telling you, in a few weeks, you'll have made some significant changes to how you feel about yourself, your voice, and how it sounds. It's a bold claim, right? And if that does, give it 1 week. Do this twice a day for 1 week, that exercise, twice a day for 1 week. I know that sounds prescriptive, but I just want you to try it. And if you don't try it, then you won't know. It's magic. It really is. It will help you relieve the unwanted tensions that get in the way of your voice and restrict it from being louder and more expressive. 9, reflect. It's really good to spend some time considering when our voice wasn't a problem, when we were able to express ourselves quite freely. And imagine being a child running around, screaming in the playground, laughing, or even crying. Kids don't block themselves. They really do let it out. It's not until they've been beaten down by life or their parents that they start to restrict themselves and behave. But before that happens, there is a certain level of freedom with their voice and their actions that is quite joyful. Can you remember that time? Can you think back to when the last time you actually laughed and couldn't stop, or even cried and noticed that the sounds you made were uncomfortable or loud, but you couldn't stop it, you couldn't control it? There's something very freeing about laughter and tears and anger too. And that release is healthy. And we can use our voice to release so much if we allow it. So reflect on those times that you may have had that release naturally. Connect with them. What happened? What was happening? Can you put yourself in that position again? Because if you can connect back with laughing freely, crying freely, or releasing your anger in a safe and healthy way, you might actually unlock something that's going to allow you to get back there again. Like I said, with watching others who have, you know, clear, resonant and loud voices, maybe just connecting with when you had one would be good. Number 10, journal. Track your progress. Track where you are now. Write down, how do I feel about my voice? What's stopping me? Is it posture? Is it tension? Is it emotional? Am I stopping myself? Is my jaw closed? Try and write down what you think it could be. Record yourself. Look back. Make adjustments. That's all you need to do. I'll leave that video for you again here. Check it out. Please do it. The journey to speaking with more volume and projecting should really be done through ease of effort. And when you are able to just let go of the control, of the tensions in your body, the voice will flow. It will become louder naturally. And that's the safest way to do it, and actually the most effective. Learn to let go. Thank you for watching. My name is Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice. And until the next time, look after your voice.